Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox. And I have another great interview for you all to hear today. Shauna reached out to me and she said, do you want to interview all singers? And I'm like, yes, because 80s metal is my favorite genre.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So we have Mike Gullars.
Gullars.
So perfect. Because I was like, oh, I don't know how to pronounce it, you know.
It's fine. Yeah, You did good.
I guess most people get that wrong, right?
My whole life, yes.
Your whole life. So I'm one of the ones that get it right the first time, right?
Yeah, you were almost perfect. So closer than everyone else.
Not quite, but almost. Yeah, almost as good anyway. So, how are you doing today, sir?
Very good. Yourself?
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm off of work, you know, because I work at Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make this like a full time job. But
yeah.
Outback treats me real good, so I can't really complain. And they get good steaks.
Yeah, they do. So, they do. It's not bad.
All right. And the blooming onions to die for. They're
right?
Yeah. So you play for the band All Sitters, like I just said before. I don't know if I told the audience that, but you play the guitar and the lead singer.
Correct.
Right. So when I heard your voice on, I think it was, hold on just a minute if you don't mind. I think it's Haunted, right?
Yeah.
Where we heard you the first time, and you just screamed like you know, Rob Halford or Ripper Owens from, I mean, like, how did you develop your voice? Because that's a powerful scream, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, I've never been classically trained or anything, and when I was a kid, the way I got into singing is we all had guitars and somebody had some drums and we've been playing music, like just songs with no words. Right. And one of my friends was like, well, who wants to sing? And we all kind of stared at each other. Cause you know, when you're young, it's like, it's kind of got to have some balls to like put yourself out there. Yeah. And I didn't have those balls, but I was kind of like, well, I'll try it. And it just kind of developed from there. So for all these years, it's been a trial and error for me. I was lucky enough maybe 30 years ago to have a girlfriend who was classically trained, and she showed me a few things. And nowadays it's, you know, because I've been singing for so long and there's so many online outlets, it's a lot of trial and error for me. And, you know, I've been able to develop it so that I can do it regularly. You know, it's just been one of those things. I've self-taught guitar and kind of self-taught singing in a way, you know.
Yeah. I wish I could be like something. I self-taught guitar. I got, like five of them here around the house just lying around. You know, I'm a collector more than a player. But I should learn how to play now since I have five of them. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
So I've heard very many people start out with you know, guitar. They learn like a Tom Petty, you know, something very, very easy and easier to understand and get your finger forms right.
Yeah.
Do you agree that everybody should do the Tom Petty round, or did you find an easier way to play guitar when you're self-taught, so you know.
Yeah, I did take a couple lessons at first, and unfortunately, now looking back at it, it was actually kind of cool. But the guitar teacher wanted to teach me. The first thing he wanted to teach me was the guitar solo from Lionel Richie's "Hello." And at the time, I did not think that was cool. I'm like, I don't want to learn this.
Hello, all right?
But I think, I mean, a word of advice for people who are trying to teach themselves guitar, I think Tom Petty stuff, sure, because there's some strumming chords in there and there's basic chords in there to learn. There's enough online outlets where you can learn first position chords. And then once you learn those five or six chords, I don't know how many, you know, you can kind of figure out a ton of songs, you know, and then you go from there, you know. It takes time. People get frustrated because their fingers start to hurt and stuff like that. But
I got frustrated, you know, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's coordination. It's like anything, you know, it's anything you're trying to learn to do. You got to give it proper time. You know, it's like something I'm trying to teach my 9-year-old son. If he doesn't score a touchdown on the first carry, he's all pissed off. And you're not going to score every time, man. You know,
right.
So
you got to take it with you got to live life one foot at a time.
Yeah, slow and steady, and you'll get there. You know,
yeah. It's pretty weird that your guitar teacher though has you started with soloing. You know, because usually it's the other way around. But I kind of understand what he's going for, because it's like you got to learn how the, I guess, fretboard works, and like you're, I don't know how we.
Yeah, I think at the time, I think that solo, if I remember correctly, is the shape of the solo is the A pentatonic scale.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what I think he was trying to start me off with is that, you know. So yeah. I get it now.
We get it, yeah, yeah. Back then, you're like, what the hell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this song is not cool. I listen to Kiss.
Yes, yes. Right, exactly. But as I mentioned before, the Haunted was on your first record. I think that was the first All Saints record.
Yep.
Came out last year, 2024, July 16th. And the Haunted opens up with your voice, you know, which is similar to that of Judas Priest, which is great, by the way. But you're the only band where I got really uneasy listening to a song, and it's the Haunted acoustic style.
Yeah.
Which I love the Haunted. I love the way it made me feel, you know. But see, the acoustic guitar, I think, it's Buried Alive. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Buried Alive. Yeah.
Yep.
So the acoustic guitar and the electric guitar is two vastly different things.
Mm-hmm.
And you did this album live and July 25. So for you, especially because you play guitar, you know, acoustic and electric, is it more, what's the main difference between playing the acoustic and the electric? Because there is a vast difference, you know. For me, you could feel what you're putting out with acoustic, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you share the same sentiment, but yeah.
I think, well, for me, I write a lot on the acoustic guitar.
Right.
Because I didn't come up in riff rock, hard rock, metal as much as chord progression rock and hard rock. When I got into All Sinners is when the riff started, and Nick, our guitar player, writes a ton of the riffs, and that's what he does very well. So most of the time I write songs and melody with chord structure on an acoustic guitar, and then I bring it to rehearsal and Nick, and we turn it into that, you know, the riff rock that it is. So for me, playing an acoustic guitar, writing an acoustic guitar, as far as it being hard, yeah, it's a little bit, it's harder than that for, especially for a beginner, than playing an electric guitar, because the strings are harder to fret and hold down. But for me, it's more of a way that I'm just listening to chords and structuring melody, for writing purposes, rather than doing it on electric, you know? And I think that's what sets apart, because if you listen to all of our songs, there's always a melody in there that's pretty prominent.
Well, I just think of the world about acoustic guitars. You know, for me, it's haunting, like a haunted song. It's haunting.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's more melodic, I think, you know. but they say that it's a lot harder to play than the electric. Because I guess of the size of the fretboard, maybe. I don't know. But I've heard it's
yeah, it's the fret harder. the fretboard, and it's the strings are thicker and they're
right.
It's harder to fret them. So people get frustrated with that, but again, you just got to kind of stick with it and build up calluses on your fingers and stuff like that.
Those suck, man. Those really suck. I guess when you get used to it, you're like, who cares? You know, like I'm sure you're very used to it now. Everybody has a weird or random moment that somehow led to your creation, right? What's one unexpected encounter or conversation or mishap that played a role in all the singers coming together? Because I know you are really good friends with the drummer starting out, and the name came from, I think he said, we're all singers. Right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tell everybody that before you.
Yeah. So the coming up with a band name is one of the most difficult things in the world. So when he came up with that, it just kind of clicked. Yeah. So that was it was actually pretty easy for us for in that regard. But I think just the way that we kind of formed is kind of a weird thing. Before we were all sinners. We were, Roger had a band together called San Dimas, and they were basically doing like 80s hair metal covers. Mm-hmm. And they needed a singer. He put it out there on a post on Facebook, you know, asking if anybody wanted to sing for an 80s tribute band. And I was like, yeah, me, I want to do it. And started doing it. And we started opening for all the 80s bands that were coming through the area. So like LA Guns and Lita Ford and Kix and all these people that were coming through. And then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like kismet. One of the guitar players left. He's like, this is a perfect time for me to bow out. I started playing guitar. I mean, we couldn't do anything. So Roger was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, you know, I kind of have an itching to start writing music again. I got a couple tunes. And it just kind of went from there. And it's just been a snowball rolling downhill ever since, which is, you know, so I guess that's our uncommon kind of story thing. The pandemic, it was uncommon for all of us. It was uncommon for all of us.
Yeah, because I started this podcast, you know, during the pandemic, because like you said, there was nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I got to do something because I don't like being bored, you know, and I'm sure you're the same way too, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm sure you've had it, I wouldn't say easy, but more, you have a guitar at your house, you know how to write lyrics, so I'm sure you're busier than I was when you can go out and do nothing, you know.
trying to entertain a couple kids in the house too, right.
That's always hard.
I kept pretty busy, you know. We got around some of the rules for a little while, and then once everything really shut down, you know, the problem with it is I kind of liked being home, which was kind of not good for me once everything kick started back up again. And I started have to keep gigging all the time. And
some bands do the I guess the Zoom concerts where they put on concert on online, you know, like Zoom collaborations and stuff.
Yeah, I did a bunch of those.
I'm sure
those are fun.
Busy. Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah. Got to collaborate with some really cool people. Mm-hmm. So those were great.
Speaking of collaboration, since you started this band, you have opened up for some pretty big bands, you know. Ace Frehley is one, and I would love to talk to you about him if we have time. LA Guns and Queensrÿche and Dangerous Toys. I'm not too familiar with Dangerous Toys, but I am familiar with Queensrÿche and LA Guns. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to talk about Ace Frehley, because, I mean, that guy just, you know, moonbound to music, you know, I mean, being the Kiss and being Total Records and everything. So could you tell us how that happened? And I'm like, because I saw on your Instagram page, for anybody who wants to follow them, they are Hold on just a minute. They're all underscore sinners underscore band on Instagram. So go check them out. Yeah. But but you have a great picture with the band and Ace.
Well, there's, that kind of came along because Roger, the drummer, used to work for the band Overkill.
Yes.
And when he was on the road with Overkill, there was a gentleman named Phil who was also with Overkill, and they became friends. And then at the time, Phil became Ace's tour manager.
Nice.
So Roger hit him up one day and, you know, he said, hey, if, you know, whenever Ace comes around, we'd love to get an opening slot. And it happened. And then we ended up doing, I think, like 3 or 4 shows with Ace.
Nice. All
right. So yeah, that was a pretty big honor, man, you know, and got to meet him. Super nice guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that was my inner child was freaking out every time we played.
Oh, I know. Every time you talk about it, it's Ace, right?
Yeah. And like I always knew that he doesn't show up for sound check and stuff, and he legit zooms in right as he's supposed to walk out on stage. Yeah. And I'd always go outside the stage door when he pulled up in his car and be like, hey, Ace. You know?
Yeah.
This band for me has fulfilled a lot of, you know, childhood icon meetings and stuff like that. It's been awesome because a lot of these guys are so humble and are just really grateful to be still playing. And, you know, so they're more, I don't know if they're accessible for everybody, but they're more accessible for me. And I've gotten to talk and hang out and become friends with a bunch of them. So,
While researching you, I think it was on your bio on your website that you said that this band, All Sinners, is the band you're supposed to be in for life. You know, I mean, this is your, you know.
Yeah. I just did an interview with somebody and it kind of said, I forget exactly what the question was, but it was if you could redo something. Or do you have any regrets? Which I don't have any regrets because I've had a great time. Every band I've been in, I'm friends with everybody still and still talk to them all. But I kind of took a detour from what I really loved music-wise, this heavier metal rock, and took a little detour and did something else. And I wish that I went in the direction of stuff that I've always loved, and I'm finally doing that now.
Right.
Again, I don't have any regrets.
No, yeah.
I wish I would have taken that straighter path to get here, you know.
Right. Yeah. I totally understand, because there are some points of life where you're just going the wrong way, and you know it, but you really can't veer off the road and just, you know, so I totally understand that.
Yeah. So, I learned a lot, though, so it added to the success of this band. So
I mean you gotta go through the pain for what you learned before and just incorporate it into what you know now. Hopefully that all that bad stuff doesn't creep up back up again, you know? You opened for Queensrÿche. Was this Queensrÿche the Jeff Tate version of Queensrÿche or
this is the Todd LaTorre Queensrÿche, but we have also opened, I think, 3 times for Jeff Tate.
Okay.
So I've got to experience both versions.
Before anybody who's listening, there were 2 Queensrÿches. Jeff Tate left the actual Queensrÿche band. He deformed his version. And I guess the original version just stuck to your guns and saying, yep, this is our band too. So, you know.
So but both versions are fantastic.
Oh yeah, yeah. Take nothing away from each version, you know.
No,
that's right. That's great.
No.
So we know we already know that you're inspired by eighties metal giants like Kiss and Queensrÿche and I don't know if you were a fan of Poison.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So is there like if you're obscure band or genre? That's an unlikely source that quietly shaped your mindset as an artist.
Obscure I'd say no. I don't think obscure. No. No, because I loved all that mainstream stuff, but then I also got into the British metal, like Saxon and Judas Priest and
all the good
stuff.
Right?
So nothing really obscure. I mean, my youngest memories of music were Kiss, and then Journey and Pink Floyd. So nothing really obscure, I would say. No.
Now, We Own the Night is your album, your latest album that just so is that coming out November 14th, 2025?
Yes.
Or is that already out? Because I've seen people getting... Okay.
Yeah, that's the pre-sale. People are starting to get their pre-sale bundles this week. November 14th is basically, it's going to be on sale in stores and streaming.
Okay, so it's going to be everywhere November 14th. Okay.
Yep.
So when you're writing for the album, We Own the Night, do you have any odd rituals or superstition, like a lucky pick or specific stack, you know, that helped you unlock your creativity while writing the, you know, because like a reminder that you always have to have it there, you know, that's really one superstition, you know?
Superstition. No, people think I'm weird when I'm recording vocals because a lot, I rub my belly.
Okay.
And I just do that for airflow, you know, I'm checking my air, making sure I'm not. But they're like, what are you doing? I have my shirt halfway up and I'm rubbing my belly. Yeah. But this time I didn't get to do that a lot and people didn't see it because I did all the vocals in my house. So the funny thing about a lot of these songs is the guys in the band never heard the lyrics and the melody until I actually recorded them. Yeah. So that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. So I imagine that you are playing these new songs when you go live now, right? And has there been any kind of mishaps on stage or the live venue that turned out to be like awesome, like it was starting out bad, but then it became really really cool?
As far as the new songs are concerned, I'll let you know after this weekend.
Okay.
Because we're in rehearsals right now.
Getting
all the songs together because, you know, the record company said, don't play these songs yet. Not yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to play Into the Flames because it was released as a single. Another one because we had already been playing it until the record company got a hold of us and said, don't do that anymore. But yeah, there's always mishaps, and that's the thing about rock and roll, man. It's not supposed to be perfect. We don't use tracks, and we don't do any of that stuff, so there's always mishaps, because I've never played a perfect gig, and I don't expect to, because I'm not a perfect guitar player. I'm not even a great guitar player. I'm just, you know, I'm serviceable for what I do.
I think you're what I do. Like one of the greatest right now because I can't even play guitar. So it's like,
yeah, but you're listening to Nick, the guy that does all the solos. Not me.
Well, I am listening to the rhythm guitar, brother, and you're the rhythm. So I mean, come on now.
I mean, there's always mishaps. You know what? Now, back in the day, I'd get uptight about it. Now I just laugh it off.
Yeah,
you know,
you got to laugh it off. I mean, it's life. Yeah. You know, like that's going to happen. You know?
I learned a while ago that if you're human and you humanize yourself, and if you're accessible to the fans and the people, they appreciate it more.
Yeah,
they exactly. don't want bullshit, and they don't want, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of what I do. So if something goes wrong, my pants fall down, my guitar falls off, I'm just going to laugh it off, pick it up, start the song over.
There you go.
You know, or whatever. So
I find that the mishaps really, really inviting for me, because I don't want to listen to the same thing that I am listening to on the radio. Like, for instance, Disturbed. Great group. Probably one of the greatest bands of all time, right? But they were a Death Blues and they played exactly like the record. I don't want to do that, you know? I mean, if I did, then I would go home, you know, and you know, just plug it in, you
I
know?
understand the insecurity of putting out an album and not being able to produce all the sounds live with a four-piece band. But as when I approached this album, I kind of did it so that if I can't we can't do something live, it's not going to take away from the live performance. So
Exactly.
because we're not going to use tapes and we're not going to use any of that stuff. So what you hear is what you get.
WYSIWYG, which is she is what you, yeah. So I'm gonna ask you a question, and do you like this band more than this band or something? You know, I'm gonna give you two questions and then I'm gonna follow up with the question, okay?
Sure.
Metallica or Megadeth? Which
Oh
one?
God, I knew you were going to
I
go there.
know, but there's a question about that for following up, so I have a reason now.
Okay, I
Yeah.
love Metallica. I just saw them twice on their M72 tour. But 10 years ago, I'd say Metallica,
Megadeth, yes. Yes, I love you for that. Yeah, because
now Megadeth.
for me, I like Megadeth because of the consistency, you know. They're always releasing something, you know. Metallica takes 10 years or something. I'm like,
I
all
just
right.
think they're a far superior band. You know?
That is the correct question for this follow-up question, and I think you know what it is. So recently we've heard that Megadeth is going to be releasing their last album with this new record.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? Do you like that kind of idea, or like, you know, because they're finishing off with cover of "Ride the
Ride
Lightning,"
the
you know.
Lightning. Yes.
So in reality, Dave is going in a full circle, starting with Metallica, ending it with a Metallica song. You know,
Yeah.
you think that's? I mean,
I think it's awesome. He
yeah.
did write it. He did have a huge hand in writing it. And we've all heard the story of the first album and when he got kicked out of Metallica and he told them
Yeah.
not to use his stuff.
Right. But they did anyway. Right.
And I'm hoping that I saw the video when he explained why he did Ride the Lightning. I'm hoping he's doing it for that reason and not a middle finger because it's gonna be I have a good friend that works with Dave and he's heard the whole album and he said it rips. And
Nice.
Ride the Lightning is he said it's amazing. So I'm hoping it's true, that it's all
In good taste.
in sincere. But he's always been bitter. So, yeah. But he has no reason to. Megadeth's
No, Megadeth has been a monster
fantastically.
band on its own, you know? Had
Yeah.
countless of albums sold and this and
Yeah.
this and like, yeah. So,
Yeah. But do I think also that it's the last thing? I don't think it'll be the last time we see Dave Mustaine, but
probably not Dave Mustaine, but the word Megadeth, yes. You know, unless they
maybe,
do like a
yeah.
Kiss, you know, oh, we're just kidding around and we're
I
coming
think we
back.
found. I think we found out that these guys can't just walk away.
No, I
They
mean,
never can.
same thing like wrestlers. Wrestlers always come back and, you
Yeah,
know.
unless something happens to them,
Well,
they always come back. You know, yeah. I don't know if you can name one band that's actually walked away and stayed away.
Right. I don't think I can either. Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty weird, you know.
It was Twisted Sister, but then
Yeah,
nope.
but
Now
they came
they're
back.
coming back.
They're coming,
So.
right? Yeah, but going back off of Dave Mustaine and Metallica and his song, I slightly prefer the Mechanics over Four Horsemen,
Absolutely.
just because of the speed. You know, I mean, it's a speed. The words are like, yeah, God, okay, well, yeah, but the speed I really love, you know. I don't know what it
Yeah.
is about that song, you know. So I'm hoping Ride the Lightning is equal to speed or
My
faster. Yeah.
opinion of both bands, and I've said this to my buddy who actually works with them, is said if you had Megadeth go into the studio and record, pick a Metallica album, the Black Album, or Master of Puppets, or and Justice for All. It would be awesome. If you had Metallica go into the studio and do Peace Sells.
Wouldn't work.
I don't know if it would be that great. It probably, you know, without studio tricks and stuff, would it be good? Don't know.
Yeah, but then they can replicate it live, you know, and that's something that
all
bands try to do. And I understand, you know, I mean, because Eddie Trunk is massive hatred for bands that don't play, that have backing tracks.
You know, like,
whatever, dude, it's live show, you know, so I don't know. So, okay, so excluding music, though, if you could throw out all the rules out the window for all future Sinner projects, what would be the most insane or experimental thing that you tried as far as music?
I mean, like, as far as with new music?
Yeah, would it be like a country band or pop rock? And you know, because a lot of like Corey Taylor, right? He has Slipped Out and he has Stone Sour.
Yeah.
Would you like do what he's, you know? Would you just
probably? I mean, I don't think I could sing anything heavier than what we do.
Okay. Yeah.
So I probably have to go the other way.
Yeah.
And I've done a ton of stuff like rock stuff and pop stuff, and
okay.
So it might have to go country and not any of this pop crap country.
No.
But
I have a country that's fine. Yeah,
I might have to try something like that, like Johnny Cash or Willie Nelson, but I don't know if I have the twang for that.
Yeah. On TikTok, I asked people who is a country king, and I pitted it between Cash or George Strait, and everybody automatically said Strait. So I'm like, yes, George Strait is the king of country. Always will be, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. So we have three more questions, but I do thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem, man. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so we're going all the way back in time, okay?
Yep.
All the way back in time, where you're 14, 15 years old, okay?
Yeah.
And we're looking in your room. Are we seeing any music posters? And if so, who are we seeing? And
Yes, you are.
Yes. Yes. I guess Kiss has got to be up there, right?
But I think when I was 14, 15, it was Motley Crue.
Nice.
Mostly Shout at the Devil stuff. And my parents were a little unnerved with the pentagrams and stuff like that, which
I didn't really. It's like all hearsay, you know?
I also had a half naked poster of Lita Ford.
Oh, right.
I had all kinds of stuff. My walls were covered.
Covered. Yeah.
So
we're gonna do like the Mount Rushmore of your four favorite bands. I know this is gonna be hard, and I know it's gonna change. And I know it's gonna change after you hang up with me.
Yeah.
Right now, any genre, any album, any artist, who is your four?
If I was on an island.
Island picks.
Okay, I'm going to try to do this a little bit differently. I'm going to say Thin Lizzy.
Great.
Cheap Trick. And an era of me growing up, Skid Row. And let's go. I'll throw the Beatles in there.
I love you for that. Beatles are my all-time favorite band, you know. One of them. You know, the other one is Elvis, but that was my mom. Yeah. My mom raised me on Elvis. My aunt raised me on the Beatles. So I love you.
Yeah. But I mean, I could take and switch those out very easily. If you gave me time to think about it.
Yeah.
I could say, oh, crap. No, I should throw the Who in there, you know, or whoever, the Replacements
depending on AC/DC. You know?
It goes for me. It goes in whatever era I was in at that time.
Okay. Yeah.
You know? Cause I also grew up in the 90s, and to me, Soundgarden and Pearl Jam, those bands like had a distinct impression on my life. You know, I can go back and look at the eras and say, I remember where I was when this came out and when this happened and this happened. So I love music in general. And, you know, Rush had a huge, huge impact on my musical career when I was younger, like around 14, 15, starting playing with bands. Me and my friends were all into Rush and Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for some reason. But that was the music. It was the music video era. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Speaking of bands like coming back, Rush is coming back, you know?
I know. I'm psyched about it.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait to hear the new drummer. You know, I hear she's amazing.
She's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think her name is Annika something. I'm not sure.
Annika Niles.
And Niles, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I was watching a video of her today playing with Jeff Beck, and it's just, she's insane.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I just lied. We're going to do two more questions, and then I'm going to let you go because I just thought about this one. Hearing you say great things about Soundgarden and Pearl Jam, what would be your holy grail record where everything is like you cannot skip it? I got a few of them, you know, but what
albums that exist right now?
Yes, that you cannot hit the word skip. You got to play it beginning.
Bad Motor Finger by Soundgarden is one of those albums.
Okay.
Perfect Strangers by Deep Purple,
mm-hmm.
I think is almost a perfect album. I love it. Yeah. let's see. I mean, Bad Motor Finger is like, that is up. That's on the Mount Rushmore. If you're talking about albums,
right? Yeah,
that album.
Yeah.
Alice in Chains Dirt is one.
It's a classic.
God. Again, give me some time. I could come up with a ton.
Right, yeah. Two of my things that I could think of is Black Sabbath Dehumanizer.
That album's great too.
That's an unskippable record. And Stone Temple Pilots Purple album.
That's a great album too. Yeah. I mean, but okay, so here we go. Black Sabbath.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's just like that. You could go on for. There's so many that if I put an album on, I'm not skipping anything.
Oh, yeah,
because I like to listen to everything.
Yeah,
right. Front to back.
Yeah,
you
we'll come back on and we'll talk more about this.
Absolutely. All right. Yes.
So one more question, then let's go.
Okay.
Hardest question I'm asking you today. Okay.
Oh boy!
But maybe not. I don't know. You know, people hit this out of the park sometimes. So, is there one album, artist, or record that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, your wife, your kids, anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Boy, oh boy!
Yeah,
that is a hard album. A hard question. The one that does that to me, and it's again, it has a seminal point in my life, was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He's a killer band. Yeah.
I grew up learning how to play guitar, listening to him. I remember exactly where I was when he died. I remember how I know how it makes me feel, and I don't know if I can explain it when I hear certain songs like Lenny and stuff like that that have no words. It's just him playing his guitar, how it makes me feel. I mean, I'll go with that one.
Good, great pick, you know, because Life by the Drop is a tearjerker. I mean,
man.
I just sent me straight to crying when I hear it, man. I got to turn it off. I'm like, I can't. I want to listen to it, but I can't, you know? So
But I have a bunch of those. I'm a huge, 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 huge fan of Jackson Browne.
Okay.
I think he's one of the greatest voices in music. And when I put on some of his albums, if I'm alone in my car, watch out.
Don't take any pictures, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So let's give you some shout outs before you go. You can find Mike at allsinnerscult.com and order his. We do have a bundle package where you can order like a cassette vinyl record and the CD, and I think some stickers, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in there, and you can get that at ratpackrecords.com.
Yeah, right,
those are
yeah.
the bundles. Yep.
Right. And they're on all underscore centers underscore band on Instagram, and
yep.
all centers band on Facebook.
Yep, so, and then yeah. allcinnerscult.com.
Right. And their newest album comes out November 17th.
14th.
14th,
Friday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right. And it's called We Own the Night, which is a very 80s title, which I love to death.
Thank you.
We Own the Night is such a great title.
Yeah. Awesome.
So thank you so much, Mike, for
Thanks,
coming
man.
On. And I
Thank
beg
you for having
anytime
me.
You come back, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And with that said, everybody, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.